You know, Mark chapter 1 tonight. Mark chapter 1. Last few weeks I was teaching on the subject of healing. Tonight I actually want to continue along those lines, but I would like for us to see tonight that there can be a relationship between demon activity and sickness, and that sometimes deliverance, the expelling of demons, is necessary in order for a person to be healed. We're going to look beginning in Mark chapter 1 tonight. So if you're there, we'll begin in verse 21. Mark 1, 21. Now the Lord has called his disciples. Verse 21, they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. That's what the Lord did. He taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man who had an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame was spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Very early in the ministry of the Lord, this incident occurs. The Lord finds in their synagogue, that's where he's at, in Capernaum, a man with an unclean spirit. By the way, in Capernaum, there is the ruins of an ancient synagogue still there that is the synagogue that the Lord taught in. That synagogue was destroyed, rebuilt, destroyed. It's ruins today, but the floor has been uncovered to where today you can actually walk on the floor of that ancient synagogue that the Lord himself walked on and taught in, this very synagogue in Capernaum, where he taught many things. But what you have here is he enters into the synagogue. There is a man there with an unclean spirit. That's what the King James says. He's a man with, verse 23, with an unclean spirit. The word means he was under an unclean spirit or under the influence of an unclean spirit. There are some versions who translate this that there was a man possessed with an unclean spirit. Possessed kind of gives the wrong idea. It makes you think of ownership, you know, like the demon possessed the man, owned it. If you possess something, it's yours, right? You possess it. I possess this Bible. It's mine. Well, people often think of the term possession in that way, as though it belongs to the devil. That's not the word here. The King James is more accurate here. It's the man was under the influence of an unclean spirit. And an unclean spirit simply means a demon, a foul, F-O-U-L spirit, foul spirit. And these are spiritual beings, spiritual entities. In other words, he was not just under the influence of some evil impulse or evil feeling, but of an unclean spirit. The man didn't just have some temptation or evil tendency, but there is a personality that was influencing this man. It means basically that he was vexed, tormented, troubled, afflicted by a demon. So a few things I would like to point out about this passage, just for us to recognize a few important details. Number one, notice that the Lord dealt with the demon. He dealt with the demon and not with the man. You have a demon speaking out of a man, verse 23. a man with an unclean spirit, he cried out, saying, Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. The demon spoke out of the man. And when the Lord spoke, he spoke to the demon. Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, verse 25, and come out of him. So, hold your peace. Literally, the word hold your peace is the Greek word for to muzzle, to like you would muzzle an animal, to shut its mouth. So the Lord's saying, you know, be quiet. That would be the nice way to say it. Be quiet. Shut up. Put a lid on it. You know? That's be quiet. Close your mouth. Be muzzled. Be silent. Dave.
Like Rocky used to tell his wife, stifle.
Stifle yourself. Eat it. Yeah. That's right. Also, let's notice, second in this passage, that the Lord put the demon out of the man, not the man out of the synagogue. The Lord didn't say to this man, you know, you're being disruptive, you know, get out the synagogue. You interrupted my ministry, or you interrupted our service. Now remember, this is a synagogue, so they have a service, and they have an order of service. There would be a time of prayer. There's reading of Scripture. There's some teaching, instruction, and so forth. So an interruption like this, this man crying out, would be quite a disturbance, but the Lord didn't throw the man out. He put the demon out. So, yeah, I think it's good that we notice that. Also notice, a third thing, is that the Lord is not, he doesn't get upset about this. It's not like he's all disturbed or apologizing to the congregation, you know, I'm sorry for this disruption. He's not embarrassed about any of this at all. This is pretty much, looks like pretty much what he expected. When he ministered, when he spoke, when he appeared, this sort of disturbance to occur. The point that I would make here is that dealing with demons was an integral part of what Jesus did. He dealt with demons everywhere he went. And here you see it right from the beginning. Here's another interesting thing I'd like to point out. And that is, the demon spoke both in the singular and in the plural form. Notice, he's a man, he cried out. Now he would be singular. He cried out saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? You know, plural, plural, plural. But then he says singular, I know you who you are. There's singular and plural. It's kind of interesting, but doesn't it remind you of the Gadarene demoniac over in Mark 5, where the Gadarene demoniac spoke in both the singular and in the plural? My name is Legion, for we are many. There's a singular and there's the plural. Whenever you are dealing with someone and their behavior, something is just not quite right, and first they're talking in one form and then in another form, you know, you need to be aware that this could be an indication that there's some activity going on there, some demonic activity. We've witnessed things like this ourselves, but it does indicate, as you know, that demonic spirits, many demonic spirits, can occupy a single person. Remember the passage, Luke chapter 8, speaks about Mary Magdalene, out of whom were cast seven devils, seven demons. Seven demons were cast out of her, the Bible says. Unfortunately, the Bible doesn't give us the details of that. you know, the seven demons being cast out. So we don't know any of the details. We could only guess. What kind of demons were they? What, some kind of mental oppression or other kinds of vexation? Were they spirits of infirmity? We don't know. We can only guess. But we do know the Bible says, out of her was cast seven demons. I always wondered, how did they know it was seven? What's your name? Number one. I mean, but you know, when the Lord ministered, he ministered with perfect sight. He saw things you and I don't see. The Bible doesn't give us all the details here, but we do know that demons, multiple demons, can occupy a single person. And no, it doesn't get crowded in there for them because they don't occupy space. They're not physical beings. They don't occupy space. So we do know that in the case of the Gadarene, a couple thousand pigs jumped in the water and drowned themselves. Is it possible that that many demons were in that one individual? Well, it's not like they occupy space. The best example I ever heard was if we distributed flashlights to everybody tonight. We each had our own flashlight, and then I told you to focus your beam right here in this spot. So it wouldn't matter if there were 50 beams pointed right here or 5,000 beams pointed right here. It doesn't occupy any space. And the same thing is similar with these spiritual entities, because they don't have physical bodies. So that there could be seven or 10 or 50 or 2,000 in a single human being. Now, I would think a person with that many demons would be pretty oppressed. And I would think it would be pretty evident to everybody that this person had some serious issues. But point being, singular and plural, both mentioned here together in this passage here in Mark chapter 1. Also, let's notice that this incident occurred in the synagogue. And we would probably be safe in presuming that this man was a regular attender of the synagogue. I mean, that's what they did. On Sabbath, they go to the synagogue, they worship, they read, they pray. So let's assume, I think it's safe to do so, he's a regular attender at the synagogue. And let's also consider that probably nobody knew that he had a demon. The fact is, he might not have even known that he had a demon. Y'all awake? Is it possible for somebody to be oppressed, vexed, afflicted by a demon and not know it? Absolutely. Absolutely, it's possible. And this may very well be a case for it. It's possible he didn't know. It's possible that the demon only surfaced when his presence was exposed by the Lord. Now, that would mean that the demon immediately recognized the Lord. I mean, you see him cry out, "I know who you are." He said, "I know who you are." Nobody else knew who he was. I mean, the public didn't recognize him for who he was, but we see right here the demon recognized him. "I know who you are, thou Jesus of Nazareth. Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are." It's also evident that the demon realized that the Lord saw him. And so that's when he screamed out, "The Lord saw him." He screamed out this. Maybe it's that when he was exposed, his presence was exposed, that's when he manifested. That's when he made his presence known. It's quite possible that demons can hide in a person's personality and that you wouldn't even know it until something exposed it. Something might trigger their presence there. Maybe it's a deliverance going on. Maybe it's the gifts of the Spirit operating. When the Lord gives some of these spiritual gifts, like the nine gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, The Bible speaks of the revelation gifts. There are revelation gifts, three revelation gifts: word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is actually when the Lord gives you sight into the spirit world so that you see what nobody else can see. You see the spirit world around you, wherever it is that the Lord allows you to see. You get a glimpse, just a temporary glimpse, because these spiritual gifts are only temporary manifestations. Discerning of spirits gives you a temporary glimpse into the spirit realm, and a person would see the demon on somebody. Brother Bob, let's get you a microphone, brother. Yeah.
So that raises a question in my mind. We know that it's possible for a demon to hide and someone to exhibit normal tendencies and actually be under the influence of a demon. What about the reverse? Is it now, if you're not operating, in other words, if you're not operating in discerning of spirits, but someone just, you know, is exhibiting things that look like their demonic activity, is it possible that they don't have a demon?
Yes.
So they can have symptoms that look like demonic activity, but they're not really.
I think that's possible, absolutely. You know, the Bible does, Galatians 5, speak about the works of the flesh or these, and it gives all of these fleshly works. But I also know that demons can hide behind those fleshly characteristics and actually accent them and make them even worse. So a person with an anger problem, for instance, let's just say a person who's short-fused and they don't control this fleshly anger, I do believe they can open up a door for a demonic oppression where a demon comes in into that personality and just accents it, exacerbates it, multiplies it, and so a person has just an uncontrollable temper. And they'll attribute it to the fact, well, you know, I just grew up that way. We, all us Irishmen, are short-tempered or whatever, but there's demonic activity involved.
Yeah, so what it sounds like is that without discerning of spirits, you probably shouldn't be trying to do a deliverance ministry.
Not indiscriminately. Yeah, not indiscriminately. I do believe that when we have these vexations, these are tormenting spirits. I do believe, while you may not know what's going on, I believe you know something's going on. Like a person may have unreasonable fears. They may have fears that they don't even know why. They may have a nervous condition. They don't know why. They may have a worry, just a tormenting worry. They may have some recurring nightmares, oppression. They may have any number of symptoms. It may be even illness, maladies, recurring things, chronic things. There's a possibility that there is a demonic influence going on. And this is something that I want us to be aware of. Every now and then, it's important for us to cover some of this ground again. I've taught on this before on several occasions, but it's been a while. So I want to bring this out again just to make it fresh in our minds. Look, when the Lord walked this earth, every place he went, he was casting demons out of people. I mean, in the synagogue, in the streets, here somebody brings him their son, leave my son, something's wrong with him, he keeps jumping in the fire, or he's got these crazy ticks or whatever it is, something going on here, or you've got, we're going to look at a few passages tonight. I want us to see maladies, illness, disease, sickness that are directly attributed to the work of demons. And we have to ask ourselves a question like, what happened to all those demons? Where'd they go? I mean, maybe they retired. It could be they're old now, you know, maybe. Maybe they all retired and moved to Florida. It's sunny down there. Yes, ma'am. Let's get you the microphone, sister.
I'm a little tired, but I think there's a Bible verse that says that when an unclean spirit leaves a man, he goes and roams around, and then that one spirit goes and gets seven more, so that the latter state of that man is worse than the first time. So he will be oppressed by seven plus one is like eight, I'm thinking. I can't really remember. I'm so tired. But
yep.
Every time Jesus, you know, he heals somebody or cleans them, he said, go and sin no more. So that's the key right there. You know, I use my example. Every time I've fallen away from the church, you know, because whatever reason, it's really been hard. And I really thank God that his mercy and his hand is on me hard, because he won't let me get away with nothing. Whether it's through a dream or something that I read on a wall, a track, or somebody, you know, always giving me track. I'm like, Dad, God, you really won't leave me alone. And I really thank God for that, because, you know, if we really study the depravity of our lifestyle and our thinking, you know,
yeah,
every day we need God more and more, because,
absolutely,
you
absolutely
know, those demons, they come and they really come in to kill, steal, and destroy.
That's right. So the devil's still, he's still active on planet Earth, you think? So the demons are still out there, and I wonder if they're still up to their same old tricks, you think? Obviously they are, but you know, we must be ignoring them. Here's the fact. It's out of vogue right now to talk about things like demons. It's just, you know how things come in and out of vogue? Back in the 70s, even into the 80s, the whole demon manifestations was very much in vogue. There were a lot of ministries, deliverance ministries going around, a lot of books being written about it. And it got a little strange at times, some of the deliverance ministry. It got a little over. That's what happens when light comes to an area where it's not been emphasized before. Sometimes the pendulum swings real hard in that direction and they go a little overboard. We found demons under every bush and under every rock. Well, here we are in the 21st century. Demons don't hide under rocks and bushes. Not in America. They parade right down the middle of the street, I tell you. They are right out in the open. But the demons are still there. And you and I need to be aware that there are real spiritual entities that are at work, and they do oppress, and they do vex, and they do torment, and they can be behind many different forms of maladies, afflictions, problems that people face. Yes, brother.
And they also influence governments and government decisions.
Absolutely.
You see,
that's
that
absolutely
today.
Right. They definitely do. They are all behind governments.
Yeah, Pastor Toto, before my nephew committed suicide, we had went to a Bible study, and I hugged him. He was sitting in the front of me, so I hugged him, and, you know, he hugged me back. But when he got up, he left. He was getting ready to walk off. And I looked at him because I was troubled, and I don't know if my sister-in-law and him, did they notice it. So I looked at him, and I tell you, I saw a darkness over him. But the way his eyes were set when he was walking off, it's like, I didn't want to tell, it's like something evil. You know, I've never seen that before. So I shared with my cousin, and I told her what I saw. And she said, you know, the other lady said, I probably saw a demon, but it was just an evil look on him and darkness over him. And as I said, a few days after, he committed suicide.
Mm. Just pass the mic over to Sister Martha.
You know, Brother Rusty, I wondered, I remember it was in the 80s, I think, and I remember all the teachings they was doing on demons, mm-hmm, and people was getting set free. I remember going, you know, but then I used to watch them. They looked like they go up to the altars and they make all this crazy noise and do these crazy things, and then they get delivered. They say they're delivered.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget one time a woman left from that altar, and I looked at her. That woman was full of demons. She had not got delivered of anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what happened to the teaching of it, but I do believe that as Christians, we have blinded ourselves to a lot of things because of like you said, going overboard with a lot of stuff, and it made us all back off from it.
I think that's a possibility. And we may have taken too many steps backwards because of the excesses.
Because of the excess of it, is, you know, we did that, but I don't even hear, I don't even hear teachings of it anymore. I don't even hear of any churches that have the deliverance service.
Yeah.
You know. So
well, you know, you have a... There's a real danger in doing that. We've seen so many excesses, for instance, in the prosperity message. But you know, there is biblical prosperity. There is a biblical prosperity message. But because of the overemphasis and because of the exaggeration and the some of the crazy, off-the-charts abuse, a lot of churches, and I have to say, even I, have backed off to the point where I haven't even taught on things like stewardship, finances, giving. And then I feel sometimes like the Lord just tells me, you've got to teach on these things. You've got to teach on things you can't neglect. So there's a balance to it all. But Sister Martha mentioned something that it made me laugh, because I saw something the other day on YouTube about this deliverance ministry. This preacher was preaching pretty good, preaching about demons and deliverance, and a man came up to get prayed for. When the preacher prayed for him, he hit the floor, and he was twisting and spinning on the floor and doing all kind of things like that. And the preacher's rebuking the devil, and the man's yelling, and then something really strange happened. The man's cell phone rang in his pocket. So here's the guy, he's screaming, and like it's like demons are coming out. Right in the middle of it all, he stops and says, wait, hold on. Preacher's like, hello? And look, this was not staged. This was... The pastor's dumbfounded. You can see the look of the fell says, no, I'm at the church right now. You know, I'll call you back in a little while. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, pastor. He puts the phone back in his pocket. You know, let's resume the deliverance. Wait, hold on. Yeah, that was hilarious. I have to say, I busted out laughing when I saw it. But, you know, that can happen too. I don't even know where I'm at now. So I'm in Mark 1. Mark chapter 1. We're saying that this happened in a synagogue. So there's a man in the synagogue. Now look, I would be inclined to think this is a man who is there because he loved God, wanting to serve the Lord. A demon began to manifest when he saw the Lord. It's possible to be in a service, love God, and be vexed and oppressed by demons. That doesn't mean a demon owns a person. Remember, we're not talking here about possession like you own, like the devil owns a person. We're talking about under the influence of a demon. And that can take many different forms. And by the way, this launched the Lord into the ministry, his ministry. He was known thereafter as the man who had authority over demons. Verse 28, immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. You get down into verse 29 and 30. He heals Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. Luke's account says he rebuked the fever. Multitudes of people came to the house, verse 32. Then at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many demons. and suffered not. He did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Of course they knew him. These are beings that were created by the Lord. They weren't created as demons, by the way. But obviously they would know who he was. They recognized him immediately, and they screamed. They know that they have a place awaiting them in torment for all eternity. And they were afraid that the Lord was there to send them to that place. But people flock to the house to get healed. And you skip down to verse 39. He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out demons. Cast them out. That means to expel them, to drive them out. The word even carries a certain connotation of violence associated with it, that the Lord drove them out. And, you know, he didn't do that by physically beating them, but by commanding them to come out. They could not resist the Lord's command. So he cast out demons and set people free every place he went. Demons that tormented people maybe mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, because, you know, they can influence all of that. Do you think a person who suffers with deep depression, do you think that demonic activity could be involved? I'm not saying it's always involved, but I'm saying it could be involved. Absolutely. What would cause a person to have these suicidal thoughts, to think about ending their own life? Do you think demons can suggest that to a person, just how worthless they are, how hopeless their situation is, to urge them, compel them to take their own lives? I tell you, I see the powers of darkness behind this whole world of drug addiction, drug abuse. Go ahead, Dave.
I wonder how many kids are on Ritalin when what they really need is deliverance from demon influence.
You know, I read just recently that more children in Louisiana are under these drugs than in any other state per capita. We have more. We drug our children more than any other state. But, yeah, absolutely. How about we look at a couple other passages? Matthew, I'd like for you to turn with me to Matthew, if you would. Matthew chapter 9. I would like for us to see tonight, and if you're familiar with these verses, just bear with me as we reemphasize some important things. I want us to see that demons can play a significant role in sickness, in people's, making people sick. Matthew 9, we're going to read beginning in verse 32. Matthew 9:32. As they went out, look, behold, they brought unto him a dumb man possessed with the devil. Again, possessed under the influence of. That's what it means. Under the influence of. Dumb doesn't mean, ignorant. Unlearned. The word, the Greek word actually means dull. It means to be blunt, like a blunt edge, a dull blade. That's what it means. And it could mean dull of hearing or of speech. When it speaks of dumb there, it could mean either or, and it could mean both. When it speaks of a man who is dumb like that, it's possible the man could neither speak nor hear. That possibility is there because it could be hearing or speech. He was demonized. He was under the power, the influence of a demon, and victimized by this demon. When the demon was cast out, verse 33, when the demon was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. We've never seen that before. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, you saw there were healings. People got healed. People got well. There were even people raised from the dead. But what you didn't see was demons cast out.
That's right.
But in the New Testament, you begin to see that, not that you don't see demon activity in the Old Testament, because it's there. You see what the devil does, how he made Job sick, and you see the demon that tormented Saul and so forth. But what you don't see is people casting demons out. Go ahead, brother.
If you don't mind, I'll relate a personal experience.
Go right ahead.
Back in Philadelphia Church, one time, back I was diving at the time, and I had gotten very sick. So sick that I could hardly keep the truck on the road. And it was a Wednesday, and I, rather than go home, I made it to church. And there was a brother that had discerning of spirits. And I was there to get prayed for because I was sick. And the guy laid hands on me, and he stopped. And he said, "Brother, do you smoke?" And I said, "No, I don't smoke. I hadn't smoked for over a year." And he said, "Okay." And he laid hands on me again. And this guy never knew me when I smoked. Okay. So anyway, he started to pray again, and he stopped, and he said, "Did you ever smoke?" And I said, "Well, yeah, it's been a year since I smoked, but I did smoke." And he cast out a demon of nicotine that, and when it went out, I could smell stale cigarettes.
Wow.
And after that, he didn't have to pray for the healing, because I was totally delivered.
Amen.
So it's like I said, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, you really have to have discerning of spirits. It's just a shame that, well, let me just leave it there.
Yeah, I know. That's a blessing. I've heard that before, where people were prayed for a spirit of nicotine or nicotine addiction, and they said they smelled the nicotine at the time. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Lee Burford was there. He was one of those laying hands on me.
Praise God. Amen. So here's a man who could not speak. We know he couldn't speak. And when the demon is cast out, he could speak. So some sort of paralysis maybe of his vocal cords, who knows what it was. But when the demon gets cast out, the man can speak. So infirmities, sicknesses, things like that can have a demonic activity, could be demonic activity. Let's look at another passage over in Matthew chapter 12. I'm just going to look at a few of these passages. You could look at quite a few, but we'll just look at a few. Here's another situation. Here's a man that's blind and dumb. Matthew 12:22. There was brought unto him one possessed with a demon, again, under the influence, vexed, tormented. He was possessed with a demon, blind and dumb. Same word for dumb means dull, blunt. It could have to do with hearing, could have to do with speech. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Now, the Lord healed him. The Lord delivered him. Cured him. Now he cast the demon out. How do you know that he cast the demon out? You just keep reading. The people were amazed and said, "Is this not the son of David?" When the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons." So, you know, the Lord cast the demon out of this guy. And that's, he got healed. And now the Pharisees are saying, well, the only way he can heal is he's got a bigger demon in him casting the smaller demon out of these other people. So the Lord knew their thoughts, and He said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How will his kingdom stand? There's a whole subject right here we could preach on, because he goes down and talks about, the unpardonable sin. But Satan casting out Satan. You know what a civil war does within a kingdom? It tears the kingdom apart. It causes mass destruction, just like the Civil War did here in the United States. You know, it's a miracle that the United States survived the Civil War with that many people destroyed, that many people dead, that much devastation. It took 100 years for the country to heal from those wounds. 100 years. That's how long it took. And if I told you that it's still not 100%, I'd probably be correct. Civil war is that horrible. One thing Satan will not tolerate in his kingdom is rebellion. And he is the first rebel. The king of all, the prince of rebels tolerates no rebellion in his kingdom. Absolutely none. His kingdom is not divided against itself. But he'll do everything in his power to divide Christ's kingdom and Christians and churches and families and marriages. And that's what he's out to do. But he have an interesting situation. A man who was blind and dumb. Healed. By the way, let's not forget that there were times when the Lord healed people without casting out demons. So while we can say that demons can be behind afflictions and sickness, they're apparently not behind every sickness and disease, or at least not personally. We know that all sickness is due to the fall in principle, and that the devil's behind it all in principle. I mean, that's Acts 10:38, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. However, what about the man born blind? The Lord healed him. He didn't cast any devil out. What about the man who was blind? The Lord anointed his eyes with clay, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Nope, no devil cast out. What about the lepers who the Lord just told them, go show yourselves to the priest, and no demons cast out of them. Others he laid his hands on, prayed for their healing, they were healed. No devils cast out of them. Other times, we see passages like this, where the Lord casts out a demon and they get well. So that's what Bob was saying just a little while ago, how important it is for us to pray for discerning of spirits, to know. Or, you know what else works is the word of knowledge, because word of knowledge will give you the information as well. The Lord will tell you what's going on. Rebuke a spirit of this. Like that's probably what the brother had that was praying for you, the word of knowledge, because the Lord will give you that to pray specifically for that. There have been times where I've prayed for people and the Lord would give me a particular word just to tell them that I believe was a word of knowledge, to tell them something they needed to do. Like one time in particular, I told them, look, there's an area here the Lord just keeps telling me, forgive, forgive, forgive. There's somebody you need to forgive. But how about another passage? Let's look with me over to, look with me to Luke 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke 13. This is a familiar account, I think, to most of us. The lady in the synagogue who is all crippled up. Luke 13, we're going to read beginning in verse 10. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Now, the idea we have here is here's a lady that is completely crippled over. We would, in my mind, I picture like somebody with a big hunch in her back that was completely bowed over. 18 years now she'd been like this and couldn't straighten up. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. He laid his hands on her. Immediately she was made straight. She glorified God. He healed her immediately. The rulers of the synagogue were overjoyed at... No, they... I tell you, that's what legalism does to you. That's exactly what legalism will do. Rather than rejoicing that here's this lady totally healed, they're upset because he healed her on the Sabbath. So, you know, they want to straighten the Lord out. You know, there's 6 days a week you could heal her, but no, you got to heal her on the Sabbath and violate the Sabbath. The Lord answered and said, "You hypocrite! If you had a donkey or a ox in the stall, you'd take him out to water him on the Sabbath." Verse 16, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for these 18 years, be loosed from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" 18 years bound by Satan, the Bible says. Verse 16, "whom Satan had bound." Now, the Lord attributed her crippling infirmity to the work of the devil and healed her. So, we see that there can be demonic activity in sickness, infirmity, maladies of any kind, whether blindness, deaf, dumb, crippling, maybe arthritic, maybe some other disease that had a crippled over. It can be demonic. There can be demon activity there. So let's be aware of that. Our subject is healing, right? That's what we've been talking about, healing. We want to pray, believe the Lord for healing. Sometimes it may be that you need to rebuke a demon. And that's something you can pray. Lord, give me discernment here, or give me a word of knowledge. Show me if there's something here in particular. But you know, here's where it ought to start. It ought to start with us repenting of any known sin, asking the Lord to completely cleanse us, forgive us, because we do know that sin can open up a door. You know, like our sister mentioned, go sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. That can open up a door to sin can open up a door to sickness. We repent, we ask for the Lord's forgiveness. I'll tell you, sometimes when I pray for people, I'll cover all the bases. Just rebuke a demon anyway. Rebuke a spirit of infirmity. I figure better be safe. The Lord rebuked a fever. Why not? Rebuke this fever in the name of Jesus. Years ago, when our kids were small, I remember reading where the Lord rebuked the fever in Peter's mother-in-law. And, of course, we read here about the spirit of infirmity. A spirit, a demon of infirmity that causes illness, sickness, malady, pain, crippling, whatever. And one of our children was running a very high fever. And I remember rebuking that fever in the name of Jesus. Instead of just praying for her healing, we started rebuking the demon, a spirit of infirmity, of infection and fever and all that. And by the grace of God, the Lord healed her and delivered her. But I do believe we need to be aware that the demons haven't vanished from the earth. They haven't retired. Where have all the demons gone? Maybe we just are ignoring their presence. Yeah, where have all the demons gone? I want to pick up a guitar and start singing like the hippies did, huh? Where have all the flowers gone? Is that what it was? Something like that. If they're still around, oh, I'm sorry, Sister Diana, let's get you a microphone, sister. It's not on. Push the button until it turns green on the bottom.
I just want to share with everyone what I do a lot where sickness is concerned. I don't have it since the stroke, but if I just get a little pain or something within my body, I know that God gave us a lot of power with ourselves. We are in authority over ourselves. And what I do a lot is speak over my sickness like he gave to Jesus. Said, "Very, verily, I say, speak to the mountain, mountain be thou removed, cast into the sea."
Yes.
"And if you doubt not, to that mountain without doubt and unbelief, and speaking to that mountain, it'll be removed. And also when he says plucked up by the root, planted in the sea, because a lot of times if I just have a little like twinge in my arm or whatever that's in my body, I just speak to that mountain, I hold it, and I tell it that it cannot have root in me because God gave me power. And I'm in authority over my body to speak over it. He says, speak to your mountain. And so I just wanted to share this with everyone about speaking over your body, taking authority, not letting it grow, killing it at the root, because everything has a root.
You know, the Lord does give us all authority
over many things.
Over all the power of the enemy. That's what the Lord said, Luke 10:19. I give unto you authority over all the power of the enemy to tread on serpents and scorpions. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you can cast out demons. Mark 16, believers would not only lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, but they would cast out demons. In my name, he said, they would cast out demons. So we can pray for ourselves. We can pray for one another. We can ask the Lord to give us discerning of spirits. We can ask the Lord to give us a word of knowledge, like if we're praying for one another or praying for ourselves. But there are times when I'll just be safe and I'll just rebuke a demon anyway. Just because I know it works.
Yep.
I'm sorry, yes ma'am. We'll pass the mic back to you, sister.
I'm very transparent, but anyway, when I first got saved and came out of the world, I remember the Lord led me on a 21-day fast. And on that fast, all the old habits and stuff that I had done and a lot of stuff I had done, he delivered me out of. And I believe sometimes, like, people don't think of, like, even for sicknesses, I don't do it in the morning. I've asked God to help me because I like to eat, but I used to fast and pray, and a lot of my sicknesses would leave through my fasting and praying, not for the sickness, but for God to cleanse me of anything that, you know, any sins to forgive me for, just for me to get closer to Him, to hear clearer from Him. And I find that through it, like I said, I got a lot of deliverance in my own home. God delivered me of things at home. I never got a deliverance from an altar, but I used to go to the altar and I'd always say, now Lord, there's a demon in me, let the pastor see him, let him deliver me, you know, because I don't want it. But I believe some people hold on to them like pets.
Like a chia pet. You water it. And, yeah. You know, one of the funniest things, I don't know what made me think of this, but when we were first married, Diane and I, we were living in a little bitty house my dad owned. And I was cutting hair back in those days, and one of my customers said, man, I've got this Siamese cat I'd like to give you. It's a beautiful cat. This guy owned a pet store. So I thought, really? He said, I'm going to give it to you free. It's a very expensive cat. I took the cat home. This thing was beautiful. It was a full-grown cat in the house. I think it was declawed on its front paws, if I remember right. But in the middle of the night, while we sleep, and Diane and I are sleeping, she liked this cat. You know, it was pretty. Middle of the night, we hear something going, Mama! That cat would say Mama so clear, I've never heard anything like it in my life. Mama! Well, a couple of nights of that, I brought the cat back to the guy. Listen, the guy said, you know, everybody I give this cat to keeps bringing it back to me. I guess if I'd have known then, I'd have tried to cast the demon out of it. I don't know. But I have heard other people say that cats can do that, that they can sound like that sometimes. But boy, this thing would send chills up and down your spine in the middle of the night. And I was spooky enough back in those days because I was dabbling in the occult so much that something like that. Yeah. Lord have mercy. Well, this subject deserves a little bit of attention, so I will probably share a little bit more on this for the next week or so. because I think that there's some things here we ought to talk about. It's been a while since I've shared on the subject, and I would just like to refresh our minds and thoughts along these lines. Let's remember, we face a very real spiritual entity. There are spirit forces all around us, for good and for evil. And the Bible tells us not to give place to the devil, because that's all he's looking for, is for us to give him an opportunity, give him space, give him room, give him a foothold in our lives. Well, Father, we pray tonight that you would help us to take, Lord, your word and apply it to our own lives, our own hearts, our own situations. Lord, I pray that you would manifest your spiritual gifts among us. Lord, grant your people discerning of spirits and word of knowledge and word of wisdom. And Lord, all of the spiritual gifts, Lord, let all of the gifts operate in your church, Lord, just as they were placed in the church. Lord, we need a powerful move of your spirit among us, Lord. We need a great stirring, Lord, of your spirit in our midst, in your church, across America, Lord, and across the world, Lord. Lord Jesus, help us to be aware of the powers that be around us, that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, Lord. And yet, Lord, help us to not fear. Lord, deliver us, we pray. Deliver us from all that would vex, oppress, hinder, torment, and in any way, Lord, obstruct, hinder our walk with you. Lord, we give you the praise and honor and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If anyone needs prayer,